Welcome back to Digital Soup, the only podcast with a running time greater than Zack Snyder's Justice League.
I swear, I'm not even joking, because I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I bet you I've heard a ton of podcasts reviewing this film and talking about this film, making jokes about how our episode's long this week, because just like Snyder Cut, we're doing a lot. It's like, oh.
Well, I bet you that they don't have a line like this. It's quite obvious that Joss Whedon's vision is half the movie that Zack Snyder's is.
Hey, Jason, do you want to explain to the people what's going on with your voice today?
All right. Well, you know what? I figured in honor of the source material for our super review of Zack Snyder's Justice League, I would take on the persona of one of the movie's characters. And my choice is the greatest detective of all time, Batman.
All right.
But he doesn't talk like that in this film.
Well, he does a little bit. If you've watched the film, Dave, three times like me, you would have noticed.
I'm not insane.
So now, Adam, yep. I've chosen the greatest Amazonian warrior for you to portray this episode, Wonder Woman.
Done.
There is only one truth, and that's my movie with 84 was terrible.
It was. I agree.
Could you sing Imagine for us?
What? You can even imagine it yourself.
Remember that was about a year ago with when the start of the pandemic. Yeah. She came out and sang that celebrity rendition of Imagine.
You know what everyone want to hear and make them feel better? This. Nope.
Hey, now guys, I got to tell you who Dave's going to play. Now for usually Dave, I felt, you know, he needed to flex that thespian muscle of his. And assigned him the role of a parademon.
Nice.
It's twofold there. Not only say it's going to test your acting, you know, skills there, but also they don't talk, so we don't have to listen to Dave.
Yeah. That's all right. I was taught if I don't have something nice to say, I don't have to say anything at all. So it's a perfect episode for it.
Makes a great review.
Silent Dave. Yeah, it's not usually Dave anymore.
All right, well, guys, I'm back. That was all just, I was just playing the Batman persona. So my name is Jason, and joining me in our legendary virtual studio is Adam and usually Dave. What's up, gentlemen?
Yeah, not too much.
My voice is a little raspy. That's why I thought it would be fun to do that. Although you said I don't sound anything like that Batman. What Batman did I sound most like?
Christian Bale.
It wasn't good. Christian Bale's Batman, probably? All right.
Closest to that. You sounded more like that Bat Dad guy that does those funny YouTube videos.
Bat Dad.
I don't remember his wife's name, but he's always yelling, Karen! Karen!
I like how Dave's like, I didn't remember his wife's name, but he was always yelling,
I don't
Karen.
I don't know if
it was Karen.
I don't know if that's her name. I just picked a random name.
Why did you say that name?
So if our listeners haven't figured out already, this episode is a super review of Zack Snyder's Justice League, all 4 hours and 2 minutes of it. And you have to watch all of it, you know, all the way to the very last credit, because this movie is that good. But I don't want to get ahead of myself here. All right.
Twice now, because he released it a week later in black and white. So.
Oh, he did?
I didn't watch that version.
Yep.
I probably won't watch that version. I mean, I watched a 4:3 version. I'm not going to now go black and white.
I'll tell you what. I wouldn't mind seeing... I'm not going to watch the whole thing in black and white, but I wouldn't mind skipping through some scenes just to see how it looks in black and white, because I know you guys remember Logan, that film from a few years back. They released
my nephew?
No. They released a black and white version of Logan, and that was pretty stunning.
I never seen that version. Yeah, I should go watch that.
It was pretty cool to see, you know, something
I'm
like that.
I'm due to watch it again, so I should.
Yeah, and that movie fit that aesthetic very nicely. And I'd be curious to see how Justice League, with these super colorful characters, what's supposed to be super colorful characters, looks
used to be.
In black and white.
Yeah, now they look better, but we'll get into that.
Yeah, there was some great shots in this film. So black and white could work for some of it.
Well, let's get started.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's start at the top. I think, Adam, you usually read the synopsis. Why don't you go ahead and jump into our show notes if you don't have them already open, and go ahead and read the synopsis for this movie. Yeah,
I sure don't have those open, Jason. But I would say that determined to ensure Superman's ultimate sacrifice was not in vain, Bruce Wayne aligns forces with Diana Prince and plans to recruit a team of metahumans to protect the world from an approaching threat of catastrophic proportions. This is brought to you by Zack Snyder, who apparently recorded the bulk of this movie, and then that all got set aside for Joss Whedon's version, apparently. So, people complained enough. I guess that's how this works now.
Well, they're complaining now.
Making movies. What are they complaining about now?
They want to renew the Snyderverse.
Why is that complaining?
Was it gone?
They're excited.
DC moved on, and now now the internet's in an outrage. They want Snyder to finish it, but we'll see.
This did bring what to me is a better version of Justice League compared to the last Boom. One that came out.
Exactly.
Not without its problems and some real stuff that could have just not been there, of course. And there's a lot of that we'll get into, but yep, obviously one of the big things is that Ray Fisher actually had a point in this movie as Cyborg.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of that story got completely cut out. Actually, if you look at the Joss Whedon version, it's sort of similar story-wise. So I didn't know what to expect when getting into this one, because I have not been like part of the release the Snyder Cut crowd or anything. I don't care. I've always been a Superman fan and stuff like that. This was a better movie.
You can totally understand.
Very, very long, though.
Well, it is. They didn't cut anything out. Normally, they would have probably trimmed this down to 3 hours, kind of to match what Marvel does. Mm-hmm. But they decided, hey, we're just going to, everything that we filmed, we're going to show into this. Now, as Adam did point out here, and I don't know if we're getting ahead of ourselves or not, but that was one of the things that I thought was so weird about the original Justice League release back in 2017 is, yes, we knew about Batman. We knew about Superman. We had those origin stories. I believe the first Aquaman came out before Dawn of Justice. Is that correct? And because Aquaman was in Dawn of Justice.
Dawn of Justice was Batman v Superman, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Aquaman was in that. Was he not?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, that's where you keep going.
Aquaman didn't show up for that one.
Okay. But this is the weirdest thing was in this movie, we got nothing about Barry Allen. I mean, he was in Justice League, right? Barry Allen was in Justice League.
Yeah.
Cyborg was... yes, Cyborg was.
All of these characters were in the original Justice League, which that film came out in 2017. Aquaman released his standalone film in 2018.
Okay.
And what's confusing about this, because it's like a new movie, but you've already seen more character development in some other movies, and then they're kind of redoing it a little bit.
Well, in this one, we got a lot of character development for not only Cyborg, but Barry Allen, too. I mean, because his arc in this movie is almost completely different. I thought it was hilarious if you watch the two, like, go back and forth between the two. Not only did Joss decide that Barry Allen had to be the comic relief of the movie.
Which he still kind of was here. But.
Well,
but they took away a lot of the stuff, like the falling on Wonder Woman and a lot of the corny jokes and everything. Huh?
No, that wasn't in this version.
That scene was there. It just, he zipped off right away. He didn't lay on top of her awkwardly.
Oh, I didn't see him fall on her.
Yeah, it still happened. But the key to remember, though, the Flash always has been... in the comics, through all continuity, through everything, always has been the wisecracking kind of comic relief.
Not the CW version.
Which is fine. I don't have any issue with him being used for the humor. I think the Joss Whedon version had a lot more like awkward, not really funny humor, which I kind of, you can't recapture the Avengers and kind of try to install that in here.
And that's what he did when he brought in all that color.
Yeah. It kind of seemed to me like, what was it, episode 8 of Star Wars, where it's just kind of awkward humor that's not really funny, like forced. That's what I think the last version was. This one, they didn't even try. You know, there's a few little funny things, but I've got a big list of complaints too for it. So don't worry, Dave, you're not going to be alone in some stuff. I'm not fanboying all over this thing.
Can we kind of start at the beginning and let's move through the movie and then you guys jump in with your complaints or what you liked? I really want to start with the opening scenes because I do have to say that the Zack Snyder version is so much better at the beginning. If you remember right, the Joss version had kind of like they were filming Superman with like a phone and they were like interviewing him and all this kind of stuff.
Oh, the terrible CGI.
That was the famous mustache.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I thought it was horrible. But the way they did the Zack Snyder version, where it basically takes place right when Superman dies at the end of the Batman versus Superman, and the way his death cry is what awakens the mother boxes. I thought that was awesome, the way it just reverberated across the world.
As opposed to the first version where it was like an imprint of the bug thing that Batman...
Yeah, like, so he kills like, one of the parademons and sees like the three mother boxes.
Which, why would those even be there?
Yeah.
So anyway, then again, I could use that argument for this movie too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the intro it was good.
Okay, what about you, Dave? Which intro did you like better? The opening scenes, which one?
The Snyder Cut intro is smart and it's good in the sense that that's how they did when they went... I almost need to go back a little bit, but it's what they did when they went from Man of Steel into Batman v Superman, because Batman v Superman starts with Bruce Wayne watching Superman and Zod destroy Gotham and destroy the city. So he's racing through the streets as Bruce Wayne in some stupid like Jeep Compass or something. You know, can't Bruce Wayne get a better vehicle than that? But anyways, that's Batman v Superman. And he goes and tries to save, he sees all these people die. And that's how Snyder chose to tie Man of Steel and Batman v Superman together. So it makes sense that in the third film in that trilogy, which really, at its core, this title says Justice League, this is the final part of the Superman trilogy, when you really think about it. This is Superman's story. Even though he doesn't show up till later, this is the third film in that trilogy. Because we went from Man of Steel to Batman v Superman, which was his death, and Doomsday and all of that nonsense, and then into the new Justice League, the formation of the Justice League, which ultimately is Superman's story as he's getting brought back to life. So that part of it made sense. It could have been cut down from the 20-minute extravaganza it was. We could have seen that done in about a minute-and-a-half long clip at best. But we had to go through and show every single person that voice was touching, and to me it just, as with most of this movie, it was incredibly poorly... Well, it wasn't edited. This is the problem. This is why we have editors on film.
It wasn't edited.
This film just really wasn't. This is why an editor in a film is so essential, because this director, they went in and said, go ahead, do what you want. And you can tell it was just him stroking himself and pretentious as all get out, just making... He wasn't going to cut a second of his footage. And there was a lot of stuff, you know, not a lot. There was a few things he cut from the Joss Whedon version, the original version, that actually were very good. They were great parts of that first original movie. And he cut
like them. What? Example?
The Aquaman lasso scene later in the film. That was hilarious in that first movie where he's sitting on the lasso of truth and no one knows it. And he starts talking about how he's afraid and all of that. That was a great scene because you got to see that side of Aquaman and it brought a little bit of levity.
Was that when they were all standing around one of the mother boxes and were thinking about bringing Superman back?
Right, yep, and that was part of that, and it broke the tension there so it didn't get quite so heavy, and it was good, and it wasn't, you know, it made sense with the character, but there was parts of that. We'll get, I don't know,
so
I think there's
a fair criticism there in that you could probably say that for most of this movie. 4 hours and 2 minutes is incredibly long, and a lot of this could have and probably should have been condensed. Mm-hmm. You know, and edited better to, I mean, we don't need, and this is one of my criticisms in the movie, Snyder's slow-mos. Everything doesn't have to be a slow-mo shot.
Here's a fun fact about that. They looked at this film, people analyzed it and calculated exactly how much of this film was slow motion. Any guesses?
Yeah.
Any guess as to how 20, much?
20% slow-mo.
3 hours and 6 minutes.
Not quite that bad. It was exactly 10.35% of this film was spent just in slow motion action sequences.
Granted, some of it you needed.
The flashes scenes, needed to be in slow-mo.
Yeah, but his aren't, they're kind of slow-mo, but not really. There's a couple, I mean, I'm not saying slow-mo is bad. You know, there's a time and place to use it, but I mean.
No slow-mo.
Yeah, it was... It was so over, you know, it's overused. And this is where an editor, and this is probably my biggest gripe with this film is seeing the reaction to it and everyone just up in arms. This is the best thing ever. This is the movie we would have gotten had he finished it. This is what we should have seen. And I don't buy it for a second. And the reason being is that if he would
have... You don't buy me.
No,
because you know how much I hated Justice League, and I enjoyed this.
I understand.
So you don't believe me.
No, I understand you enjoyed this movie. What I don't buy for a second, and there's no one that's going to convince me otherwise, is the fact that this is the movie that it should have been released, because there is no way under this sun that in 2017 they're going to release a four-hour monstrosity like this.
No.
It's going to be cut down.
Theaters won't let them.
You know, the original film was 2 hours, an hour and 50-some minutes, so 2-hour film. This thing would have been cut down so far, and it could have been a really great film had it been edited and properly presented as a finished film. This is just a sketchbook. This is just a guy that decided to, look what I can do, and I'm going to do everything I want, and everyone can love me. I hate that about this
and
film.
Everyone can love me.
So sketchbook is a little bit strong. Especially if you consider the very end of it, which was unnecessary, like all that stuff.
The whole nightmare sequence. You
know, they shouldn't have done any of that, like Batman's dreams and all that stuff. And that all, the last, like that whole 20 minutes, cut that off. Now, because that's where it starts to feel sketchbook to me, because you shouldn't look at a movie, watch a movie and be like, what is this?
Well,
it had nothing to do with any of it.
The whole Martian Manhunter scene. Where was he through all of these three other world-ending events? Just now he decides to come in?
Another agreement I have with you on that one is, so Martian Manhunter, here's Lois Lane having this great conversation with Superman's mom, Martha Kent. It was really good.
That was a really powerful scene.
Yep, she morphs into like, and a lot of people are going to be like, who the heck? Well, I take it back. Most people are going to know who that is, but like he had no role in the movie other than that. And then the very end, he shows up for a second, you know, and you think he's Superman. So he had no point and unnecessary slow motion and all that stuff at the end. Those are my biggest complaints. Other than that, I mean, it was, you know, there's some stuff that takes me out of it. Like the Flash, you know, if he's going that fast and he falls over, he's not going to just like hit the dirt and roll for about 100 feet. He's going to turn into like goo.
He's got quick healing though, buddy.
Oh, okay. Never mind then.
I did think, you know, and I know Jason, you wanted to kind of go in order here, so maybe we should skip to that. But that the way they handled that scene with Flash having to basically go back in time, that was pretty cool. I mean, there were parts about this film.
I really liked it.
There were parts that were cool. Had there been an editor to take Snyder's sketchbook, which is what I'll call it, because all this is an idea dump for him saying, I'm going to throw everything I ever wanted to do with this, and then we're going to leave it. But there was nobody there to tell him, hey, this doesn't work. This could be about 10 minutes shorter. This could, you know, we don't need to see every second of this. We could cut these scenes down and make it move at a much better pace.
How does that make it a sketchbook, though? Because like a sketchbook is like just ideas unfinished.
Film.
How is it not finished?
That's what this is. Yes, there are special effects finished. Yes, they told their story. But the edit in a film is a critical component to tell that story. There is nothing here edited. And in fact, it's everything in the kitchen sink thrown in that a lot of it was completely unnecessary. It was just, pardon the language, but self-masturbatory, where he just wanted to be able to say, look at how cool I could have made this. So, the reality is, no, it wouldn't have been that cool, because all of that extra stuff would have been cut to just the core key sequences.
So is there, I mean, because you've kind of talked about Zack Snyder before in like your opinion a little bit. So is that influencing your take on the movies? Like that technical
it's not him. I mean, I've enjoyed some of his past films, like 300 and some of that. What he does is fine, but in the situation, and please don't misunderstand if you're listening, I'm not crapping on why he had to step away. I mean, that was extremely tragic. I don't blame anybody for that, and they threw all the money at him and said, go ahead, make your version, do what you want. Here's $70 million and make it happen. Add all the CG, change whatever you want, fix everything, you know, whatever. The part about him that I don't like is how I've seen interview after interview now. Well, just a handful, because I couldn't stomach it anymore. But interview after interview of him saying, well, I've never watched that original cut. I never saw any of it. But miraculously, he knew exactly everything that was cut.
That's not true.
Somebody, yeah. Even if he didn't sit down and watch it, somebody was telling him, here's what people are mad about. Here's what got cut. This scene wasn't in it. People didn't like this, didn't like this. And he was like, well, that wasn't mine. That wasn't
mine. The 2017 version was like 90% Joss Whedon's own like reshoots, wasn't it?
Well, like they barely used any of his. It was
something that high. It was like 90% of Zack Snyder's footage was unused. I don't know.
Because when you watch,
that's what they said.
When I watched the 2017 original version back, you know, on like the Tuesday before it came out. Then I watched the Snyder cut the day that came out, or that Friday or whatever it was. So I watched them both in the same week. There's a lot of scenes that were really the same. It's just that they were cut down, and he might have added, you know, he did. Whedon definitely added a lot of, probably at times, you know, forced comedy to things to lighten it up and do all this stuff. But there's a lot of the scenes, a lot of the stuff was pretty much word for word, you know, and a lot of it changed, but a lot of it was very similar. And so I don't know what the exact amount is, but that's the problem I have is just with him is just that attitude of, I never watched it. I never paid attention to it. This, I had a vision and I was going to do this, and trying to come across as this pure storyteller. That being said, that's a problem with his, you know, my perception of him and how he's talking about this film. It's nothing to do with this film. The problems I have with this film. There are parts of it that were done well, parts of it that added a lot to the story that were really cool. I'm not going to deny that. I'm not saying the whole thing is garbage, but I think what we got as a finished product in a 4-hour cut where there was zero editing done to make it a watchable film leaves this thing no different than the original to me. I mean, so it's different, but not better or worse.
I think, like, Jason and I disagree, of course, with that assessment, just because to me it didn't feel like a 4-hour film.
It didn't. It kind of flew for me.
Even though it was 4 hours, there was those scenes like I already listed all my complaints basically because I actually enjoyed it, and a lot of that has to do with just it's a different story from the last one. I think it was a better story from the last one, specifically instead of just generic CGI character shows up. You know, the Steppenwolf guy before. I thought his armor was cooler. Not that that has anything to do with the movie, but
yeah, it definitely was.
It was better. They actually gave him a point, like he's trying to please Darkseid and all this stuff. And, you know, just the whole thing had more explanation about things that didn't make sense in the last one, even though the stories are loosely combined, but then this one goes way, way different to me.
And this isn't, I don't mean this to sound snobby or anything like that. Certainly nothing like that. But I wonder if part of that for me where I didn't run into that is because I am very familiar with the comic stories as far as what these things were. So to me, I didn't need Uncle Ben's, you know, Peter Parker moment where, you know, where we find out Batman. Like,
oh, we need that.
Yeah. Or where we see Batman's parents killed. I don't need that in my Batman stories. I don't need that in my superhero story because I know what's going on. Sometimes it makes sense if it's a character that's not really popular, or if they're going to go a new direction with it. But you look at that scene when it opens up and they're on Themyscira, you know, and he's getting the first mother box. Now, that sequence, by the end of that sequence, I was already looking at my watch going, good Lord, we've got how much more?
I didn't feel that way at all. There was so much
of it that just was unnecessary. You could have cut that down and made it, here's this thing waking up, the warrior's there. I loved how they decided to drop that whole building into the ocean versus just shut the doors, because this guy, he can teleport. What good does shutting a door do? So I loved how they dropped it into the ocean, hoping they'd catch him in there before he could get out. That was cool. But then it dragged on so much, and it's like, okay, finally he gets the box and he disappears, and big speeches and monologues happening and all this stuff, and it's like, I didn't need it. It was unnecessary. Get to the action, get to the stuff that's important, and go.
I'm just curious. I mean, were you already winded from watching the first one so soon before? I'm honestly asking.
Like, I don't think so.
Because it kind of sounds like, and don't take this the wrong way, it kind of sounds like when you started this movie, you're like, guess I'll watch this one. You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
I had that feeling when I saw it was 4 hours long, even before I watched the original. I was thinking, like, are you kidding me? There's no way. What could they have possibly done to make this thing worth being 4 hours long? That's one of the longest films. You know, you don't see films that long very often.
No.
Titanic was 3 hours. You see some 3 hour films out there. Yep. But it's rare for a 4 hour film.
And Dave, Adam and I completely agree with you. 4 hours is too long. They could have definitely trimmed this down to 3 hours. I think that would have been pretty good there. But okay, take a look at, let's just look at it from here. So not only did Joss trim it down to 2 hours from this, but he actually trimmed even more than 2 hours away from the original Zack Snyder filming because he added a whole bunch of his own. Look at all the stuff that he actually changed. One of the big things is the whole bank heist thing, blowing up kids that Wonder Woman had, that whole scene, right?
Yep, that was in both.
Exactly, but there was so much stuff cut out of the other one. Like, yes, she threw, I think, two people up against the wall, but it was the third person she threw up against the wall inside that was a death throw. That body hit that wall at such velocity and then fell limp. She killed that person.
In the Snyder
Cut. In the Snyder Cut. Yeah. That person is dead. And then the guy at the end that was going to try to shoot everybody and he just wouldn't stop, she then did her bracelet thing. Mm-hmm. She disintegrated that guy, blew that. She murdered that guy. Mm-hmm. Now, both of those Wonder Woman death kills were not in the Josh Whedon.
For the record, I disagreed with her collateral damage. She did not need to do that on the last guy. Anyway. Yep.
Well, and here's the funny thing.
I kind of liked it. Yeah. Looking at that scene. I liked it.
Looking at that scene, it's a funny thing. That's another one. The scene was in both. They played out a little bit differently in each film. Mm-hmm. You know, in Whedon's version, there was a little more back and forth. She had a little more time. I think when she's, you know, armed the bomb, she had a minute. The guy told her, you're already too late, you know, and then they show the guy arming it. In this one, she had seconds. So they kind of rearranged the order there. I thought that was a good change. But everything surrounding that key instant, do we really need to see her deflect every single bullet from, you know, two clips in a gun or a clip and a half, whatever it was? Do we really need to see every single second of all this other stuff when it could have just been action, 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 show the hero shot of her first noticing the trouble up on that Statue of Justice, which was a phenomenal shot. That was in both films. Watch her drop down, do her business, get the information. And then the most patronizing scene, at this point, I literally was rolling my eyes. My wife looked at me like, what is the problem? Because she only watched it for a few minutes. But when all the kids are standing up, they're all safe. They've just watched all this murder and mayhem around them. But she's there, and they're all smiles, everyone's happy, and one little girl sitting by herself, and we get the just cliche line of, could I be like you when I get older? And she says, you can be anything you want to be. No, you cannot be Wonder Woman when you're older, because Wonder Woman is a child of a god.
Well, take it back to the Wishing Stone. You probably could.
Well,
boom, yeah, argument dismissed. Just kidding.
Take your powers.
I mean, it seems like Dave was just mad watching this whole movie. Unnecessary. And I literally rolled my eyes.
It made her feel more human.
She's not a human.
She is a human. She's an Amazon.
No, she is a god.
Human.
She is not human in any continuity of that character. She is not a human woman. She was raised by the Amazonians, and she was part of their culture, but she is descendant of the gods.
But she almost died in Wonder Woman 84.
That's because she lost all of her god powers.
Okay, well, I'm just saying it made her feel, okay, they just watched something supernatural happen here. This woman moved so fast, and every single bullet that she was saved from them, she threw people across the room into walls, but then there was a human moment where she was trying to make sure everybody's okay, make them feel more at ease, and then a little girl who just looked up with aspirations like, can I be like you someday? And instead of saying, no, kid, I'm a god, get out of here, because I'm just like Dave.
That whole scene didn't need to happen.
Possibly not, but I'm not upset about it.
So here's the other side of it. You want to say portrays her as being more human. Yes, if you mean psychopathic murderer, of course, more human. Let me just violently destroy all these people.
Self-defense.
And then, destroy all these people in the name of saving these ones. Okay, that's fine. That's what heroes do. And then without a shred of anybody in that room being startled by the fact these people were just mowed down around her. She just literally disintegrated one and, you know, crushed others by throwing them in the wall. After straight up murdering people, she looks with a smile like, oh, yes, honey, everything's fine.
Let me do this, Dave. Let me do this. You're at home. You're with your wife and your children, say your mom and dad and some other people. So you have maybe like 15 people in your home. All of a sudden, this mad gunman comes into your home and he's threatening to shoot everybody. You go psycho on this guy. Mm-hmm. You wrestle him down. You grab this gun. You butt him to the head with the gun. And then you shoot him square in the face. You get some blood splatter on your body.
Whoa, this is weird.
Do you... No, well, what I'm saying yeah. is, do you think that your family and friends are going to be like, oh my gosh, we are never talking to Dave again.
No.
That guy's psycho. Or are they going to be happy
but do
that
you
just
think,
saved them and go, yes, Dave.
But do you think in your fictional real life situation, any member of that family is going to, when I turn around smiling and happy at them and helping them up, that they're going to look and people are going to be like, smiling and could I be like you? If my kid turned to me in that moment,
your kids will run up to you and hug you.
They will, but if my kid turned to me in that moment, no, they won't. I don't think anybody would be. They would be in shock. Everyone would be just
be like you someday, Daddy. Let's
freaking out.
Let's not ask for pure reality in our superhero movies.
Well, no, we don't need to see that. But I mean that's what I'm getting at though. Is just there's so much that doesn't need to be there, because you look at the whole tone of the rest of this movie, that scene stands out as that doesn't belong. He wanted to make this a dark, serious film. He cut every ounce of comedy out of it. Any funny bits, anything to lighten the mood was all gone. It's all serious. It's all feel.
No, you're getting this all wrong. This is the way the movie originally was. Joss cut that out and added humor. He just went back to his source material.
I'm looking just at Snyder Cut. The whole, when you look at that film from start to finish, he's making a serious, dark film. There is, and that's what I'm saying. I don't mean he cut out Joss's stuff. I'm saying he made a choice to eliminate all humor bits, any lighthearted moments. He got rid of most everything like that and made this
added
a very
F-bombs.
Well, right. And I have a problem with that. The way he treated, you know, these superheroes who are, I mean, granted, this film might not necessarily be for kids, but it's the most recognizable superheroes aside from Spider-Man and the MCU that kids are going to look at and watch. And there is no way I'm letting my kids watch this.
Right? Kids aren't watching this.
Wait, is he making it?
What are we talking about? The superheroes saying swear words?
Batman said the F-bomb, and who else did?
Is that where,
there was two F-bombs.
I'm not a fan of it either, but I mean, it's in Marvel movies, they swear all the time too.
No, what I'm saying is, A, I don't think it needed to be there. I think it was unnecessary because ultimately you're making a film with Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman, the most iconic characters the DC universe has, and now you're turning it into something that most kids shouldn't be watching. Granted, a lot of people will just say, go ahead, it's no big deal. That's fine. I'm not judging that at all. Do what you want. What I'm saying, though, is the whole tone of this film was that. It was superheroes dropping F-bombs. It was murder. It was dark and gritty. So why leave a scene in that's going to be a inspirational, lighthearted moment? Why even bother with it? Because it's not needed.
I want to dissect that a little bit. So swears, sure. What kind of murder stuff are you talking about? Like Wonder Woman, what she just did?
Well, we just talked about Wonder Woman. There's
how is that different from any other superhero movie, though?
Because we don't usually, it depends on the film. We don't always see brutal deaths. I mean, look at how they Logan's, that's a little different. Yep. And some film, Deadpool films, they're like that.
Oh, yeah.
Most of the MCU, you see some death, but it's mostly in the more comic book cartoony style where it's not brutal. It's not, you know, overly gory. Now, granted, this film wasn't super gory, but I'm saying in tone that that's what this film was. So why are we spending an extra 5 minutes on a inspirational happy scene?
It's like 5 seconds.
It's not needed though. And that's where I say so much of this comes down to, had they had an editor tighten this up, could have been amazing. You know,
we agree
five
there.
Out of five film.
So I don't have much of an issue with that.
Tedious
piece,
for me.
What else we got?
Yeah. Move forward, Jason.
I don't know scene for scene, but One of the scenes that I did like better in the Zack Snyder one was when Batman went to go find Aquaman. There was just several aspects of this that I liked better for some reason. And I can't nail it down right away, but when they were in the bar...
Mm-hmm. He was taking it seriously.
There was some dialogue that was a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And yeah, more serious, like Adam said, which we know this whole thing is more serious than Joss's version. But when they were walking out, there was some extra comedy banter as they were walking to the water, which there wasn't in this one. There was one line about you live in a bat cave.
Do this dressed like a bat. And that was in both films. Yeah.
Yeah, that was in both. But there was another line that I think Batman said to Aquaman.
You talked to fish?
Was that what he said?
Yeah.
Something to fish.
Which wasn't in this one. And then one of the big things that I thought was stupid, and I'm just going to call it straight stupid, because I kind of watched them. I would watch a little bit of Joss's version, then I'd switch over and try to watch the same scenes over in Zack Snyder's. So I was jumping back and forth before I'm like, I just got to finish all of Snyder's. I just want to watch it and then go back and do that for the other one. But okay, so they're in the water. He takes off his shirt. They're having a conversation. It's less funny. There was a few other lines they said in the Joss's one, but I can't remember what it was. But then here's the big thing. For some reason, Aquaman and Batman were looking at each other, and Aquaman kind of jumped up and kind of like did a little flip, like a little move backwards and then go into the water like a dolphin would do. Mm-hmm. Almost like he was dolphin tailing it out, which in the Joss's one, these women were doing this really weird...
No. You've got that reversed. In the Snyder cut, the women were singing. Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
And that's what I mean. And in the Snyder cut, these women were singing, and this one was doing the solo where Batman looked over at her and was listening to the solo. And then when he looked back, all you saw was the wake of the water. So he didn't do this little fishy thing and go off. That was added in by Joss. Why you would want to add that in, I don't know. But I just thought the scene, yes, that song was so long. I do agree.
No point. Yep.
Yeah, that's the whole point I was getting at. You look at that, he does this weird thing in this Snyder cut where some of the key elements, like the whole meeting of Aquaman, their encounter in the bar, and them getting out and Aquaman saying, no dice, man, you're on your own, and all of that, he somehow sped that up, made it more impactful, and it was a nice tight scene. And then we add 5 minutes of some nonsense song that who cares about it while some girl is sniffing Aquaman's sweater and jacket.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Merv that kind of nonsense that it made this just tedious as hell for me.
To me, that it felt like more of that stuff. And I agree with you on this scene. It feels like that was more sprinkled around than it was like major impactful to the whole thing. But I agree.
It was almost every scene.
I get that they're trying to show reverence to Aquaman because he's like the legend and he takes care of him and stuff. And, he's like a god to them. But yeah, good. You don't have to drag it out. Just sniff the sweater, move to the next scene.
Let me ask you about something here. Let's talk about Aquaman for a minute, unrelated. Mm-hmm. What the Snyder Cut does, you have to remember the order these films are released in. Now, I know this just came out now, so it seems like Aquaman already happened, but it hadn't happened yet. That film doesn't happen yet, till after this events of this Justice League. Okay.
Yes.
This Snyder cut, now, not that it matters, DC has come out and said they're not worried about the big MCU style connected universe. They're going a different direction, they're doing some different things, and awesome. Great. I think they're gonna tackle more of the multiverse type situation, and that's perfectly fine. But this film completely destroys the Aquaman film because in the Aquaman film, he hadn't been back to Atlantis. He didn't know the history of his mother. This film, Mira tells him all of that as they're down defending the second mother box. And he's already got the armor and the other trident and all. He's met these people and they've been trying to get him. It's obvious they've been trying to get him to come for a while. And so it basically just says, well, that film is gone now too. So he messes up. If he were to continue this whole Snyderverse, now he's automatically, he's already starting with one film ruined that already came out that would be part of that same universe that they're going to have to go in and try and find a way to retcon the whole thing.
Well, what's weird is Aquaman 2, I believe, is in early production too, isn't it?
I heard he talks to fish.
It could be, yeah. No, it's the water. I control the water. The water does the talking.
Now, there were some other scenes with Aquaman. There was like this one scene, and I need to go back and watch again. It makes me mad that I can't say it verbatim, but it sounds like Dave is remembering things a little bit better. So there was a scene where Aquaman was kind of like hitting a little bit on Wonder Woman in the Joss version, if I remember right. They were like sitting next to each other. And it just, it kind of,
no, that's that lasso scene.
Was it? Okay.
Yep. Because he's like, and you, you're gorgeous or something like that.
Yeah. That was in the Zack Snyder's.
No, they removed the whole, when he was sitting on the lasso of truth and he said,
he didn't remove it. It was added in by Joss.
Right. But that, that was eliminated in the Snyder cut. Yes. Let's just say that and changed. And that's one scene that I think could have stayed in and given a very welcome moment of levity to a film that otherwise was just dark and gritty.
You know, I love my comedies, and I love the way Marvel intermingles it, you know, the action and seriousness and the comedy and stuff. But I thought there was enough comedy in this. I thought that, you know, Barry Allen and the Flash, you know, whenever it was each character, I thought that was enough. Like Barry Allen's beginning scene with Iris and everything, Iris West, which wasn't
hot dogs in slow motion.
Yeah.
That was a great scene though. Come on.
I like that scene too. I thought it was pretty cool, but I thought he had just the right amount. It was like the perfect amount of a certain ingredient to the movie, because I liked the edgier. This felt, this felt a little bit like Logan to me. This whole movie felt like the way Logan made me feel, because I was so used to him in X-Men, and then I'm watching this grittier, rated R, you know, movie, and I felt that this kind of captured what Logan was doing.
Here's the biggest difference between Logan and this. Keeping in mind, this is ultimately still, like I said, this is the conclusion of a Superman trilogy. Logan and Wolverine are actually that rated R character. Violent, brutal, bloody, murderous, swearing, cantankerous. That's Wolverine. That's Logan. That's his character in the comics. Superman, Snyder has no clue whatsoever anything about Superman. He is someone who just does not understand that character. He tried to do something and like you said, take this film, tried to make the big blue Boy Scout, the guy that's there for truth, justice, and the American way, the guy that'll help everyone, that's the most human person on this team, even though he's an alien from Krypton, and tried to make him dark and gritty through all of these films. And that's a big problem with all of these, not just this one, but with his whole trilogy. Moderately, you know, they're not terrible, they're not great, but they're okay, but they just do not get Superman right. And it carried into every other character.
He is a lot more angsty.
Yeah, and it's like, it's brooding. It's not, that is never what Superman is. Bruce, you know, cranky old Batman, I love it. There's some great stuff in the comics even with that.
In my day.
Superman is never that way.
I did like his black suit. I thought it was cool.
Yeah, it was. Black Superman. Hey, did you know that's not an S? That's the symbol for hope.
You shut up. It's an S.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, the black suit, you know why he's wearing that.
It's Venom.
No, this is the weirdest part.
It was blue. They desaturated it in post.
No, they could have explained that in 30 seconds, and they don't. Yet they leave all the rest of this nonsense in there, because the black suit, the only reason he wears that black suit, it happens in the comics too. It's because that suit, he gets his power from the sun, and that suit helps him absorb more light. And you see, before he goes off to battle with Steppenwolf in the end of this film, he flies up and soaks in the sun. Yep. They never explain it. They watch him walking down a hallway through all of these. And actually in the comics, he doesn't even choose that suit. He wakes up, is resurrected, and is in that suit because, you know, the Fortress of Solitude, basically, it's a healing suit. It puts him in that. He walks down a hallway of multiple Superman uniforms through the different, you know, generations, from his classic red and blue to the Krypton battle suit, all of that. And he knows he's going to battle this ultimate battle, and he chooses the one suit that, just because it looks that way. It's, again, where he just doesn't understand that character.
Okay, so I agree with you there, but I know there's been a lot of hate for this movie from you right now. And I do have to ask you a few things here. So one of the big differences between the two versions was, well, this one has a character called Darkseid, which was not in the other one at all. In the other one, Steppenwolf was the big bad. So what do you think about the inclusion in this version and Joss just going and ripping him completely out of the original vision?
They handled Steppenwolf better. He had a reason to be the bad guy. I'll say
You talk about in Joss's or Zack's?
No, in Zack Snyder's, in the Snyder cut. They made him look a little better. He didn't look like just some half-finished CGI guy.
It was awesome. Remember when he flexed his uniform and snapped those arrows? That was awesome.
That was awesome.
Yeah. It definitely was.
Can't even acknowledge that was cool.
It was all right. I didn't love it. I still thought he looked goofy, but he looked better than in the other one. But adding Darkseid to me, I didn't need him.
He was originally there. Joss cut him out.
Showing him in this film, I didn't need it. You could have a quick 10-second cameo, but this to me is the equivalent because we got two films back to back now, Batman v Superman with Doomsday, and now we're throwing Darkseid in as the only other real big bad. It's the equivalent of throwing Thanos and Galactus in the same film, back to back, where Thanos shows up in one film and then we're getting the next massive, thing in the second film right after it.
Hey, Spider-Man's been doing that through all of it. They always have like two to three villains in every movie.
Yeah, but
Batman's
different
done it too.
They're different level villains though, is what I'm saying.
Oh, we gotta have the right level.
Guys like Darkseid and guys like Thanos and guys like, on that level, they're world enders. They're the ones that are like the big event. When we get to Endgame, that's when, Infinity War and Endgame, that's when you're going to really see those guys come.
But that's
kind of going to be a little blip.
That's kind of the point here, though, was that he's the world ender. He showed up and everyone on Earth had united. They had the gods. That opening scene or where Wonder Woman's explaining it. And, you had like, was it Zeus and
you had Green Lantern.
They had a lantern.
A member of the Green Lantern Corps.
Yep, everybody came together and was able to like damage this guy and spook him and get those mother box. I mean, that was like without him in this movie, that the whole story falls apart to me.
Well, I think a reference to that, like that opening scene, where they show that's fine. Oh. Showing the history, telling the history, so condense it a little bit.
What are you saying?
That part's fine.
He shouldn't have been in here because
we need to see him
too powerful.
I don't think we need to see anything more than a reference to him to keep this thing feeling like it's building to something. Because let's play hypothetical here for a second.
Are they building to something? Is my question.
Well, they're not. DC has come out and said no. They're letting him do this, but it's done. Now the internet is doing what the internet does, and so we'll see if DC caves and lets him come do more films.
They
Who
did
knows?
Cave once because they,
right.
they said, and, no, they're not going to release a Snyder Cut.
Yeah, and to me, that's just a stupid money grab, to launch HBO Max and grab some more money off this thing. Whatever, that's is what it is, business.
Angry Dave.
But think about this. Had this been the MCU, you start with Iron Man 1, which would be Man of Steel, the equivalent. You've got Iron Man 2, which is your equivalent of Batman v Superman. In the second film, you have a major showdown with, I'm trying to think of a major villain. So not Thanos, but someone close to his level. Say you have this, and that a major showdown that kills one of your Avengers. In the second film.
The Wonder Twins.
Second film, right there.
Yeah,
Third film. We've got Thanos show up on top of,
I don't disagree. This is, and sorry, I'm going to, sorry to interrupt,
yep,
but it's, that's the whole thing with DC tried to like jam everything in.
Right.
And I agree 100%. I mean, Justice League, especially the first one that came out, it's like, there's no backstory on Cyborg. He's just kind of like there and has like 20 lines. And then there hasn't been all the time that like Marvel took to establish all the characters with their individual movies. And so when you approach a movie like this, you have an understanding of what's going on. Yeah.
And that's the question. Is it DC saying we want to do these stories, or is this Zack Snyder saying these are the stories as a director that I want to tell? You know, that's something I haven't really looked into to see, but Snyder's done, this is his trilogy, just like Nolan had his Dark Knight trilogy, you know, and that's what this is. And so I'm guessing Snyder had a lot more input to say, this is the stories I want to tell. He pitched it. He did what he was going to do, and we're going to build this big thing, and that's great. Let's say this film had come out like this as intended back in 2017. Where do they go from there to make anything feel high stakes again? You know that the only thing they can do is have Darkseid show up on Earth eventually and have the big showdown where everyone teams up again and this happens. Well, that's kind of it's kind of anticlimactic because you know what's going to happen already.
Well, you just said exactly what Justice League 2 was, that vision of the future with Batman, you know, when they're all, you know, where he meets a Joker.
Yeah, no man's land, basically.
That is, I mean, that was Darkseid's forces invading Earth. That is what Justice League 2 was going to be, Zack Snyder said. Now, would that bit of interesting? Would have I wanted to watch that? I don't even know. Just watching that scene, I was like, I don't know if I'd like to see this.
Didn't need it.
No, and that's, I mean, it's a story that's been pulled from the comics. The Injustice Gods Among Us video game used that story as well.
That game's awesome.
Yeah, and that's basically where Darkseid attacks. In the attack and everything getting defended, Lois Lane gets killed. Superman blames Batman for it, and he or himself or whatever, and he's beside himself. And because of that, Darkseid, he's on Earth. He uses the, what's it called? The patterns in the Earth, the life something code. I can't remember.
Anti-life
code. He uses that to gain control of Superman's mind and turn him against everyone, make him a soldier for Darkseid. And now Superman is hunting, and these people are trying to survive, which is when we see Barry Allen. Well, this was all going to build so Barry Allen could go back and do Flashpoint and go back and do all of this. It's fine. It's stories that are from the comic, but it's at such a pace that it is insane. Now, had they pulled it off as planned, with regular two and a half hour movies, nice tight edits, everything else, could have been kind of fun. You know, I'm not saying they would have been terrible. They would have been like all the others, probably, as far as Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, all the way up, where, yeah, they're okay. They're fun. They're decent. They're not anywhere near Marvel, of course, but, you know, they're all right. But that, I don't know. It's just so too much trying to cram in. And I kind of can't help but wonder if that's more Zack Snyder saying, this is the story I wanted to tell. This is what I want to do. And they said, yeah, sounds good. Let's do it.
Let's hit this ending. Let's the final scenes, because I mean, we're at an hour already right now. And we already know that you did not like Darkseid. You thought he could have just been like, let's just show like a little 2 minute thing of him and we could be done for the movie.
Like they did with Thanos in the MCU for the first how many films? You'd get a post credit scene with him. You'd get a little glimpse. You'd get a reference to him.
But I understand that, but I gotta say that having Darkseid in this, in the ending, because with them opening the portal and the forces getting ready to come through, it was so much better of an ending than what we got in the original 2017 release of Justice League, because let's not even talk about Barry Allen.
They're standing there, they're facing him, and that should have been.
Yeah, it was. I loved the way. Well, let's just go to him getting killed, and again, here is Wonder Woman doing another death kill. Severing his head as he's going towards the portal. Yeah, and she she slices his head.
Not to mention,
and Darkseid steps on his skull. That was awesome. Yeah. The death of Steppenwolf was so much better in this one than in the 2017 version, I thought.
Well, and that to me, like, on one side of me, I'm like, that was badass. That's cool. You know, whatever. It had it been cut good,
I
it
can't believe you said fun. That.
But on the other
spin.
Side of the Frosted Mini Wheat.
Yeah, on the other side of it, you've got Superman cutting a guy's head in half, basically.
Just cut
never
off one of his horns.
Would have happened.
He just lasered a horn off. That was it.
But he just pummeled and didn't stop. And then he cuts off his, you know, side of his head, his horn, which his head is in there. And then they chop off his head. That is not how these characters would ever act. Yeah.
If a force is coming to end the world, you don't think they would do whatever they could, no matter how, I mean, they're not going to be Boy Scout, Girl Scouts at a time like this. They are going to go for those death kills.
And you'll see characters like a Batman be more brutal. You'll see characters go brutal, and you'll see Superman step in and say enough's enough. We've won. It's like Captain America versus Iron Man in a sense, you know.
I don't know. I really enjoyed it. And let's talk about some of this, what Superman did in this final scene. Was it not another kick butt scene when Steppenwolf was going to axe Cyborg and Superman stepped in front of it? He axed Superman's shoulders.
Yep. Oh,
Superman
way better.
Just looks up at him and goes, and he, just those two words, not impressed. And then I thought that was awesome.
Then he super punches it after he super breaths it. See, in the first one, I couldn't stand it. He's like, well, I believe in justice and a little bit of whatever.
Truth, justice.
This guy's still bothering you?
Yeah.
Well,
he was so much better in this final.
That was a problem in the first one and in this one for me, that this whole team looks like such a bunch of weakling Nimrods next to what they make, you know, that they make Superman do. The only reason they win that fight in either film is because Superman shows up.
He's the big
gun. And it's like, yeah, it's like, if that's the case, why don't we just let him fight it? Which is why it is a Superman trilogy still.
They
They
did the same thing with Captain Marvel, because she technically could have ended everything, but they had to.
So could Scarlet Witch.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, she didn't have as much power then, but she got a little bit more later. But
I mean, and that's, I don't know. It's okay. It's not great. It's not terrible. Yep. I it sounds like I hate with a passion.
It does.
And I'm
sound
not
that
saying
way.
That.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
just
what
saying
I'm
there are a ton of problems that made this thing a tedious exercise in film watching for me.
Interesting.
The Barry Allen Flash, where, and David talked about it a little bit earlier, but our heroes lost. Our heroes actually lost this battle. And Barry Allen, you know, because the portal opened and everything, Barry Allen. It's completely different from the 2017 release. Barry Allen went back in time to change this. That whole thing played out so much better than the 2017 release. I love that they did unify, or they went into sync. The portal opened. The world was going to be taken over now. And Barry Allen's like, even though he's injured, he gets up and he runs as fast as he ever could. And they do it. I mean, they go back in time, he generates what he needs to, and they win, which I thought that played out so much better than the original also.
Yeah, I agree there, because that whole, in the original film with that family that was trapped in the house.
Yeah, I'm so glad that wasn't in this one.
And yeah, Barry has to go push the truck, and then Superman lifts a whole building.
Whatever he says.
You know?
Yeah, some Russian.
Right. I mean, that to me definitely was handled better. Those scenes in the original felt cheesy. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I totally forgot about the purple worms that were chasing them in the original. Oh, this was so much better than that. Stupid purple worms.
We're not fishing. We don't want your worms. Like I said earlier, I guess, and that's just, this is my 2 cents, my opinion. It didn't feel like 4 hours, even though I called out what I did on it. I still found it enjoyable overall. That's me. Liked it.
What do you rate it?
What's our scale?
Out of five.
Out of five? Gosh. I liked it a lot. I'm going to round up. I'm going to go 4.
Who's next? Me, Dave?
As Dave silently judges me for 4.
Yeah, see?
No, like Tusk. You shut it.
Here's the thing. I'm not judging you. It's not for me. I'm not judging, though, because by and large, most people are in the same camp as the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
Camp by cool. and large, people are giving this thing 4s and 5s across the board.
Yeah, but remember, a lot of people rated Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, super high when it first came out.
Oh, that was ridiculous.
Anyway.
I'm following you, Adam. I'm going to give it a 4 also, because I, not only did I enjoy it, but, you know, when I say I give something a 4, that means that I would rewatch it, and I would definitely rewatch this sometime. The only reason I rewatched the 2017 one was to prepare for this. I would have never went back and rewatched 2017.
And I think that also, I don't know if I would have rated this a 4 had I not already not been a super huge fan of, you know, let me rephrase. I don't know if I would have given this a 4 if this was the only one that had ever come out. Like, there was such things that I did not like about the first time that the Whedon version that came out. I was like, oh, that this kind of course corrected a lot of those. And mentally to me, as I'm watching, I'm like, oh, good. Yay. You know, so it kind of made me glow a little more towards this one.
So what you're saying here, Adam, is like, say you were dating one of a twin, right? And you really, you were dating her and there were a lot of things you liked about her, but there was just so much stuff you didn't like about her. You guys broke up and now you're dating the other twin and you're like, wow. I mean, there's a lot of similarities, but there's just so many better things about this twin than the other twin.
That's not at all what I'm saying. The other twin didn't have purple worms. I don't know.
Well, you know, have you talked to her doctor?
No, I'm just saying that the contrast between the two films made me enjoy this one, made me appreciate this one even more. You know, if that's, does that even make sense, Jason? I don't know.
Oh, it does. And like you, both of you guys know, when that 2017 one came out, you guys know how much I hated it. I hated Superman versus Batman. And yes, I know I got that backwards, but I hated that. And I hated Justice League. I thought they were so CGI. And maybe that's another thing with it being darker. Maybe you don't see the CGI. It's not so boom, bam in your face.
No, Superman's face was the biggest, one of the big problems in the last one. It's like, yeah. Why does
we didn't have to deal with that this time.
He looked like he got stung by a bee.
But I think that's another thing. I really disliked that first one so much. And like you said, Adam, maybe this one, if this would have been the only one, I would have been knocking it for the time, definitely, because I would have said, oh my goodness, why is it so long?
Yep.
So much stuff could have been cut out of it. But overall, if I'm not watching a comedy, I like my stuff dark. I like the little bit of comedy that was in a few of the Nightmare on Elm Streets, but mostly I like them to be dark and gritty and just, you know, evil.
Like your coffee.
Yeah, exactly. And I kind of liked my superheroes having that little bit of evil in them. I guess,
I'd prefer a lighter, like a more classic Superman, personally, like what kind of Dave talked about. And then you contrast that with your ultra dark Batman. I think that that could have been played out better. But
so if we had an evil Shazam, you guys don't think that would fit?
Nope.
That kid is like, you know, Shazam! And then he goes and rips a puppy's head off in front of a little kid.
The way Shazam is in that film is exactly how, when he's as a hero as Shazam, not the kid, that's how Superman is, only more stoic, more wise, basically. But that that tone of that film being much lighter, much, I don't know how to put it, that is a Superman feeling film. I mean, it fits Shazam perfectly, too. That's how Shazam is as well. But dark, brooding Superman.
When Black Adam comes out, is that going to be darker? No, I'm not joking here, but Black Adam, is that going to be more light or is it going to be a darker story? I don't know the comic.
I would venture to guess it's going to feel very much like the first Shazam did. There'll be some serious, but there's going to be levity because that's that character.
I was kind of hoping more of like a Zack Snyder, you know, darker thing.
You know what, Jason? You can just go watch Spider-Man 3 where he goes kind of emo.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
And get your darker, grittier.
You know what? Hey, and okay, let's take a look at, before we get to Dave here, because, you know, Dave's going to give like a -6. Take a look at the best Batman movies. Those were the darker ones. Yes, the Joker was funny, but that trilogy there, the Dark Knight trilogy, out of all the Batmans, is that not the best? I think the Dark Knight series is the best Batmans, and they are darker and grittier than all the other ones.
But that's Batman's character.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but they did it, okay, more like his character then. What about, you know, the Joel Schumacher ones, 3 and 4? Did you like those Batmans with the nipple suits and all that?
Who didn't? Was it Batman Robin and
yeah,
Batman Forever or whatever?
Yeah, I like,
anyway,
the Dark Knight series is the best, and I think it has to do because I do like that darker, grittier look in my superheroes. Yes, Dave, I understand in the comics that's the way he is, but all the previous movies were not that way, so booyah.
Well,
and I'm so glad they removed that. Cyborg said booyah over in the 2017 Joss version. They did not have that in this one. I don't want my cyborg going booyah.
The whole part of the end where they blow up the mother, or they separate the mother boxes in the 2017 version, and Superman's like, I want to die. Yeah. And it was like, no, what?
We don't want Superman saying that. That was
stop
just so
cracking
stupid.
Your jokes. Anyway.
See, I didn't mind that. Now,
wow. We that are end, such a
that,
Adam,
that scene you're talking about.
We need to get
about.
Somebody that's like minded like us on the show. We got to get rid of Dave.
That scene you're talking about after they're like, can we withstand it? And they're like, yeah, we should be fine. And
I really
like
you alive?
Yeah, I'm alive. You know, no, I take that back. I wish I wasn't.
Yeah.
You know,
and I thought it was out of place.
Yeah.
I thought it was like, okay, here's two guys that just been through some major stuff and they're both like, all right, we're fine. We're going to just kind of laugh it off and get up. And Wonder Woman makes a comment like, always working with children or something.
Yep. Yeah, that was stupid.
Completely unfunny, in my opinion. But I know that's what that's what he was going for, is trying to get that exactly what you described, but it just didn't kind of work. I don't know.
So
anyway.
Yeah, what'd you give it, Dave?
When I rewatch, like I said, I rewatched these both.
You don't need
the
to, you just
week.
Did.
No. The thing is.
Yeah, for the last hour, you're prefacing it.
I don't want anyone to think that I liked the original better than the other. And if you go, you can see the dates and timestamps, everything on my Letterboxd account, which I've started using. It's just Letterboxd. letterboxd.com/AIC stories.
Oh, well,
find
Dave,
my profile.
Dave, can I just interrupt you here? Because you've just proven that you enjoyed the 2017 one more than this, because that one was Letterboxd. This one is 4:3.
No. I went on there and I rewatched both of these last week. To me, I don't feel that one was necessarily better than the other. One was worse. To me, they're two different films. They're different, not necessarily better. One is extremely long, and they both got the same exact rating from me of 2.5 stars only.
Boo!
And I will not, with the exception of maybe scrolling through the black and white version of Snyder Cut just to look at some of the visuals, I won't be watching either one of these films again anytime soon, if ever. Neither one of them got this stuff right. And to me, I have not rewatched Man of Steel. I haven't rewatched Batman v Superman since I watched it a few times. I remember
I've only watched it once.
With that film too, I remember thinking, yeah, it was fun. It was cool. I didn't have a big problem with the Martha scene like everyone else seemed to, but there was parts of it that I was like, okay, whatever, this is dumb. It wasn't great. It wasn't horrible. I probably never watch it again. Same thing with Man of Steel. It is what it is. I love Henry Cavill as Superman. I really enjoy cranky old man Batman as Ben Affleck's Batman. I think that's fantastic.
I liked him in this one. I mean, I was kind of in the very first one. I was kind of the first Batman that he was in.
He was great. What are you talking about?
Batman think Affleck as Batman is
in Batman versus Superman. Yeah, he was really good. He was punching people into the floor. It was awesome.
Yeah, and that version that's like grizzled and old, and he's been through some stuff, and he's looking to just, you know, he's hanging on by a thread, and he's trying to find heroes because he can't do it anymore. That he's kind of resigned. You know, he knows he's in his end stages. I love that Batman, that kind of story, and I thought Affleck was great at it. You know, Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman, she's fantastic as Wonder Woman. Whether or not she's given a good film to surround her, as 84 told us, that's hit and miss.
God, but, I can't believe they did that to that movie.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there were improvements in this film. I thought giving Cyborg and Flash a little more backstory made sense. To me, it would have made more sense to see a Flash movie and a Cyborg movie, so we don't have to do 40 minutes to an hour origin story on every character except Batman and Superman.
But they played the Badgers.
Yeah, yeah. Those were some little notes I had. Like, wonder how much Wisconsin paid to have, you know, who paid who there to get the advertising for the Wisconsin Badgers and Gotham Central High or whatever.
And I think I read Snyder was from like Green Bay or something, and.
Could be, and that's fine. It's still Wisconsin, but
hey, but you got to admit though that whole scene where his dad was talking to him in the voice recorder, he was outside of the bank and the bull and the bear were fighting and stuff. Oh, that was awesome. No, I'm saying that was so stupid. Why was that even in there?
Yeah,
bull and the bear. Did I miss something?
Yes, you did.
He's in like a flashback, not a flashback, but it's when he's kind of.
His dad's explaining to him what his powers can do.
Yeah,
what
and it's
he
when
can
he
do.
Taps oh, into his power exactly. and he goes into that. It's the same as when, like, he goes and just he decides, oh, this woman's down on her luck. Instead of a dollar, I'll make sure the ATM gives her $100,000 because, you know, she deserves it. And it's like, oh, come on. That didn't really need to be in this film either.
Yeah, none of that needed to be. His dad could have just said, hey, you have control over all systems, and he could have left it at that. I agree with you there, Dave. There are things that were stupid that didn't need to be in there. You easily could have taken this movie down to 3 hours, and like Davis said, he's completely
I'd chop it right down to 2 hours.
No, because we loved 3 hour Marvel movies. We could have handled this if it was edited. Now I'm giving you cred here, Dave. I 100% agree with you. Editing is a huge part of a movie because they can move stuff around, they can cut stuff out, etc., to make it a fantastic movie. And I think if they would have removed some of those areas that are definitely not needed, maybe move some stuff around a little bit, this could have been a tight, awesome, awesome movie from start to finish with us walking out of a theater just wanting to beat people up like when we watched Rocky IV. Remember I talked about that before?
I just think that you get a nice, good, tight edit on this thing. You're looking at 2, maybe 2.5 hours tops. It won't even go 3 hours because there is that much unnecessary stuff in this film.
I don't know if there's a whole hour of unnecessary because, Adam said, we didn't know anything about Cyborg. We didn't know anything about Barry Allen prior to this. It was needed.
You could have cut off half the slow motion, chopped everything after the portal scene at the end where they kind of had their victory, and then just trimmed. Get rid of the song.
Those post-credit scenes, you lose 15 minutes getting rid of those post-credit scenes.
Yep.
Well, and there was so many shots in this film where, and this is why I'm pretty confident if they went in and did a nice tight edit, it would end up at about 2, 2.5 hours because so many scenes where you see little things, for example, people getting into a car, they show, you know, they get in, they show them and they're driving and watch them drive all the way off down the scene. Now, in most films, they're going to show them in the seconds before they get into that car, they get in the car, engine starts, they start driving, and that's the end of that scene because you get all the information you need from that. The rest of it, it doesn't give you anything else. And so when you start cutting, 45 seconds here, a minute there, 2 minutes out of this, there are scene after scene through this film that you could do that with, and you're going to end up with a good, solid, tight 2-hour, 2.5-hour film, and it'll be killer.
So do you think if he would have, not talking about moving stuff around, but if he would have just edited this down, got rid of the unnecessary stuff, do you think your score would have been higher at that point?
I probably would have rated it higher. You know, what I had said before going into it, when we first talked about, you know, okay, this is coming, we're going to watch it, I hadn't rewatched the original. I mean, we're talking about 2 weeks out before the Snyder Cut dropped. My only thought was that everyone was saying, you know, this film's going to be amazing. And my only thought was, well, yeah, it better be. He's had $70 million in all this extra time and feedback after the fact to, you know, do what he wanted to do. It better be amazing. And it could have been amazing had it been actually edited and finished. But instead, they just said, do what you want. And he did. You know, hats off to him. Mm-hmm. He made the film he wanted to make. And I know there was some talk this was originally going to be split into a series. Then it was going to be a film again, then back to a series, and ended up with a film. I get that. And it's how they separated it out with those chapters and all of that. You could treat it like a series if you wanted to and just stop it and watch, you know, at each chapter break, watch it, you know, the rest of it the next day or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But it's still too much. You cut so much out of it just to make it flow and make it impactful, and it would have been amazing. You know,
all right.
Let's go over our numbers again. So I gave it a 4. Adam gave it a 4. Dave gave it a 2.5. So this does receive 3.5 stars. So we are serving it up, even though Dave would really like to feed it to the dogs.
Yeah.
Yep. That happens. You know what? If we all agreed, it wouldn't be nearly as fun of a conversation.
No. I mean, this was a lot of fun fighting with Dave. Yeah. Let's go, Dave.
Yeah. Well, no. And I want to address that real quick because I know in some of the chat in our Discord, which if you're not in there already, you should check the link in the show notes here. Jump in the Super Happy Fun Room Digital Soup Discord, and we're having a lot of fun conversations. But people were making comments, and I know, Jason, you were razzing me. Oh, maybe he's just pulling our leg.
I thought you were just trying to stoke the fire, and then you could come in and go, oh, this is like the second coming of Christ. It's the best ever.
No, and I was very much like,
that was Dave from Digital Suit Podcast.
I was saying stuff like, I wasn't saying too much on my thoughts, but I was like, I can't wait to record it. It might be a little spicy because
he kept saying, I wish we were recording right now.
Oh, I know. And it's probably good we didn't, because I talked way too much this episode and I've got a lot of opinions, and I know had we recorded
he's getting
in the
a lot
day
of pay
or two,
this episode,
in the day or two, if we had recorded that weekend, we watched it. Mm-hmm. I would have, I know, because I know I was just, I got done with it. I'm like, oh, this was wrong, and this was wrong, and this was stupid, and I hated this, and that. And as much as it sounds like I hated this film tonight, it probably is good that I had a little time to forget some of that stuff, because even still, I didn't love it. But man. Yeah, a lot of people thought I was just messing around, but no, legit, this is, when I'm reviewing a film, I'm giving my honest take on it.
Yep, definitely. It sounds like it.
We wouldn't want anything less.
Right.
So all of our listeners, we would love for you to come, as Dave said, to the Super Happy Fun Room, come into the episode discussions, and let us know what you rated this. We would love to hear from you. And speaking of that, at the top of the show, I was going to do the results of our Twitter poll. So maybe I'll edit this to the beginning. I don't know.
Do it right now.
So I'm trying to, every episode, do a poll on Twitter, hence the name Twitter Poll. So the Twitter poll for this last 2 weeks was the villains of The Walking Dead. Who was the best villains of The Walking Dead, or villain, I should say? And I had four choices up. I had the governor, I had Gareth, I had Negan, and Alpha. And the results are... Negan did win with 50% of the votes, and then the governor and Alpha tied with 25%.
I would agree with Negan.
Yeah. I guess nobody really cared about, Gareth. I guess if you eat people, you're not that big of a villain. But if you beat their heads in with a bat, you're a villain.
So can I ask a real question?
Yes.
I don't watch Walking Dead. I watched the first season, and that was it.
Yep.
So I don't really know anything about that. I didn't vote because I didn't know anybody about these characters. But why wasn't it a virus or something that turned them all into zombies? Why didn't you put that as a choice?
Well, I didn't put zombies either, because they are not...
That's the true villain.
Corona.
Yeah, it probably was the coronavirus. Well, I'm wondering if all of these vaccines are going to actually turn people into zombies. Well, hey, what was that Will Smith movie? I Am Legend. Wasn't it some type of virus... they're giving people vaccines for some type of virus, and isn't that what caused everybody to turn into those vampire type things?
I forget.
I believe that's what it was, but yeah, so that's the results of our Twitter poll. I'll have another one up this week. Maybe I'll make Dave or Adam do one once, but we love the interaction. Hopefully next time we'll get like 1,000 people. That'd be nice. If there's nothing else, Dave, if there's nothing else, why don't we have Adam get us out of here?
Sounds good.
Well, you know it. So if you'd like to continue this conversation, you can find us on Twitter at Digital Soupcast, or if you want to get really geeky, head on over to our new Discord, which is called Super Happy Fun Room, because that's awesome. And that's actually, we've got several members in there. We love interacting with you guys. And of course, if you also have a second to help out, we'd love it if you could leave us a review in Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, and make sure to let everyone know that Digital Soup is back and better than ever. Until then, stay geeky, don't ever change unless it's for the better.
Take care, guys.
Later, Russians that were cut out of the Snyder Cut.
Jeez.